The boom of the surf was still loud. Tides, she thought. That half-pint moon couldn't cause them. There must be some sort of regulated rise and fall of the sea, and it's going haywire. She longed for a sleep set. They left your mouth tasting like an ape's urinal, but they were quick. You didn't suffer from insomnia with a ziz, or get bothered by rocks sticking in your back. A short, deep, dreamless sleep. Finally she gave up, got up, and walked through the darkened hall. The man at the door moved aside hastily to let her pass. The sky was ablaze with fake stars. Kin shivered, but she couldn't help but admire the ersatz universe that blazed over the dark, sea-noisy fjord. This wasn't Earth. It was a disk about 15,000 miles across, massing around 5.67 by 10 to the 21 tons. That meant it either had generated gravity or neutronium veneer as a bedrock. It spun very slowly, like a tossed coin in treacle, dragging with it a fake sun and a fake moon and a family of fake planets. She knew all that, but sitting here it was hard to believe. She shivered as the frost clawed at her. Frozen starlight. A clockwork world. A world without astronomy. Maybe there was astronomy, but it was a horrible joke on the astronomers. A world where the venturesome dropped into the abyss. Dragons. Trolls. A myth mash. She found a planet near what, for want of a better word, had to be called the disk's horizon. No, it was moving too fast for a planet. And then it was suddenly a pennant of fire in the sky. It hit the disk somewhere to the east. Kin told herself she could feel the impact. She ran towards the line of beach ships to where a broad shape glittered with frost. Silver? Foolish, foolish, how many shandy on the disk?
Ah, Kin, no doubt you saw it.
What was it?
Most of the main part of our ship. It was only a matter of time. Marco should have exploded it rather than just leave it, and we can only hope it landed in the sea or a desert. I was hoping it would impact on the underside of the disk.
It's certainly a good way of saying we're here to any disk lords. First we take out a planet, then we drop our ship on them, said Kin.
I noticed something before I saw the ship, said Silver. See that planet right down there? What would that be?
If this was Earth, that'd be Venus in that posi... No, it...
Quite so. It is moonless.
Kin felt a tingle of excitement. The disk builders had forgotten something. How could they? Venus and Adonis, a moon almost as big as Luna, had always dominated Earth's dawn or sunset sky. Why leave out the moon in the disk universe? A mystery.
One could write a filmy on astronomy and sociology, said Silver. For example, I have always felt that humans were the first into space because of the continual reminder that in our universe everything orbits something. You always had that other double world system in your sky to hint that not everything revolves around the Earth. Whereas we had the twin, and the Kung couldn't see the sky at all. Had your sister world not had her moon, I doubt if your history would have been quite so uncomplicated.
Together, they sat and watched the moonless world sink into solitude in the faintly glowing sky. Kin snuggled against Silver's fur and wondered whether the dumb waiter would be safe. Probably. The men had a healthy respect for Marco. Silver was thinking about the same thing because she said,
Kin, are you awake? If the dumbwaiter misfunctions, you must promise me you will stun me and allow Marco to put me to death.
Kin sat up, grimacing in the darkness. Certainly not. Anyway, how could we stun you?
You have a palm stunner on you at this moment. I have noticed it on several occasions, said Silver. I was taught to observe. You will kill me for fear of what I will become. My fear.
Kin grunted noncommittally and lay back, thinking about Shandy. They couldn't take Kung or human proteins. Before the dumbwaiters were common, it meant that Shandy could only go off-world with a personal deep freeze. There had been a time when a human ship had been ferrying 4 Shandy ambassadors to Greater Earth, and the freezer malfunctioned. The ambassadors were civilized. Usually, when a Shand was deprived of food, it turned into a ravening animal within 2 days. A million years of evolution was drowned in a wash of saliva. With the ambassadors,